This is Afternoons Live with Tyler Axness on News Radio, KFGO.
If you didn't hear the announcement earlier this week, Guns N' Roses is going to be at the Fargo Dome. You can buy tickets Friday. After I get mine, though, don't beat me to the line there. Carla Rose Hansen's in the studio. She's a state representative, District 44. Are you a Guns N' Roses fan, Carla? Representative Hansen?
I am. It was what I listened to nonstop when I was growing up.
So are you going to go? You can just, somebody can watch the kids. I don't know if it's going to be a family-friendly thing.
Actually, I might bring one of my kids because he likes some of the same music I do.
Well, good. Raising them right.
I'm raising them right.
If you're just joining us, I've got a ton of text messages about the State of the Union, the conversation. Not avoiding them. I'll get back to them. But I know I'm on a time crunch here with Representative Hansen. Yesterday, you had a committee hearing.
I did.
The judiciary, right?
The Interim Judiciary Committee.
And you have a number of tasks. One of them is recreational marijuana. And what we heard, it was broke during my show. I think it was like 3:30 is when we caught word of what WSI, Workforce Safety and Insurance, for those of you unfamiliar in North Dakota, saying, look, this passes, someone gets injured on the job while they, you know, were inebriated, intoxicated,
impaired.
High, whatever, impaired is probably the proper term, they would potentially be compensated through the WSI. And it to me, They're making the case that, well, we're going to be having to spend more money. Businesses probably have to raise premiums. Seemed like a pretty big scare tactic for me sitting in the studio. You were in the room. I want to hear what happened in the room.
Well, Tyler, you know, I would say we need to look at the bigger context of what the Interim Judiciary Committee has been doing with the recreational marijuana study. And we've had three meetings so far, and we've had a long list of people coming in to testify about what they see the negative implications could be, or the positive effects could be, of if we could pass a measure at the ballot for adult use recreational marijuana. Mm-hmm. So we've had a long list of people testifying about that with their perspectives. I would say WSI was one of many sharing what they see would be a negative implication for this. They're worried about people coming to the job being impaired, and it might be hard for them to measure whether or not a person still has this in their system, because it can stay in your system for a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how do you measure that? It's different from alcohol. And, you know, what do we do in terms of coverage? So if the person is injured on the job, do they get coverage if they have this in the system? So right now, the law prohibits paying benefits if they have wage loss related to medical marijuana or other prohibited substances. You know, so if you come to a job and you're drinking, or if you've been even using a legal substance like a prescription drug, but if you're impaired, you won't get your benefits under WSI.
So when they make that claim, then this becomes legal. I mean, if they're already saying that this stuff isn't covered currently, alcohol, or if you're a prescription drug where you're inebriated, why would it be different in this case? Or am I misunderstanding something here?
You know, it was really unclear. And so I think there's a lot of opportunity to clarify what the impact could be. And that actually goes to the bigger point of, we as a legislative body really should be doing more to be prepared for if this passes at the ballot in November. We don't want to be behind the eight ball, if you will. We should be thinking ahead about what the state might need to do to take action on a variety of fronts. It's not just WSI. You know, how would law enforcement in general handle measuring if someone is driving under the influence? That's one example. What kind of regulation should we have in terms of licensing or, you know, zoning? What kind of tax system should we have? Should it just be taxed as a regular product? Should we have an additional excise tax? So those are some different things that we could think about in a deep way to really be proactive and prepare should this pass in November rather than scrambling and, you know, figuring it out afterwards.
Well, and this is just my observation. And I mean, what it appears to be. And, you know, we've had a history of this. I can think all the way back to, I don't remember what measure it was, but it was about the potential elimination of property taxes. And there was an outcry because he had people in official positions. He had legislators. He had county commissions, cities coming out saying, basically, we don't want you to pass this. We'll take care of this. There was an uproar from the advocates, the supporters of eliminating property tax. Well, then there were some things of, you know what, officials shouldn't take positions. And I don't remember if it's codified in law anywhere. It kind of seems like there's an end around that, look, we're going to get it on record that these officials are opposed, or here's their concerns. They are likely going to see used in a campaign ad against this measure. Is that what's taking place, or am I just being cynical as always I'm accused of?
Oh, Tyler, I don't know about that. There are a long list of people who do have concerns about it, and they're, you know, a lot of them have official positions. And they, you know, from their perspectives, it's a legitimate concern. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're from law enforcement or something like that, you know, you have a set of experiences that definitely will inform your opinion on that. Medical professionals, so that'd be, right. You know, the private sector. But we also have a long list of people who are coming in from different organizations who've had strong opinions of this. So Family Alliance, there's out-of-state organizations. It's called SAM, Smart Approaches to Marijuana. They had a lot of time on one of our agendas talking about all the impacts from their perspective, mm-hmm. of what happened in Colorado when Colorado passed recreational marijuana. So there's been a lot of information shared, and I think we can do more, and we still have some more meetings where we can do this, or really dig into some of the other potential actions we can take to be prepared.
Well, and I want to clarify that I'm not opposed to, you know, people sharing their concerns, whether it's on this program or out there, but if it's orchestrated by the committee chair or the legislature themselves is, look, let's get all the dirt out here. On official record, because that's what it is. I could go look through the minutes, and then guess what? There's going to be a campaign against this. Now it's going to ultimately be up to voters to do that. It's just, if the intent is there, which is what I'm reading through the lines here, I've got an issue with that. You don't even have to respond, but that's kind of the sense I've been getting there. I know. Do you have time for a phone call? I want to get into the ethics conversation as well in just a moment, but I got Roy that called. Roy, thanks for calling Afternoons Live. How are you today?
Good. I just need a clarification.
Okay.
Alcohol is not an illegal substance, correct?
Correct.
So if you show up hungover on your job and you're covered by workman's comp and you crash a snow blower or a snow grader or whatever, mm-hmm. a snow plow or picking up garbage or something like that, and they look into it and you were drunk as hell the night before at a bar, do they exclude coverage for that as they would under what she stated was, okay, marijuana stays in your system a little longer and they detect that they're not going to pay? Is that apples and apples or is that apples and oranges or what?
Sure. Roy, I'll let you listen off air. So we got a little feedback there, but and you can clarify because I think Roy's getting to actually your point, what it was.
Yeah. So under Section 6501, the injury is not compensable. You're not going to compensate, you know, for that injury if it's caused by something that intoxicates you, whether it be legal or illegal. And so, yes, if you come and you are, you know, if you have alcohol in your blood, you know, in your system, my understanding is that WSI would not cover that injury.
Yeah.
And so the question, though, is how do you measure intoxication by marijuana? Because you might have it in your system, but you might not actually be impaired because it might hang out in your system for a really long time.
And I think that's the legit. We got to get a weather update from 2 Tall Tom Schmasky. I'm going to keep you here for another segment, even though I know you're on a time crunch here. But so that's legitimate. How do we measure it? But if people want to make the comparison that, well, you know, alcohol is legal, and if you get injured while you're impaired there and there's no coverage, why would they treat it any different for marijuana? Because if it becomes legal, you just treat it the same. So that's kind of the conversation we're having here. We'll continue it right on the flip side of this weather update. Also, the Ethics Commission that you voted on in 2018, that's before this committee as well. I got a couple of questions. Carla Rose Hansen, my guest, representative from District 44. Stick around.
Back to Afternoons Live, News Radio KFGO.
I've only got a couple of moments left. A message comes in. Tyler, WSI will use the fact that marijuana is still a Schedule 1 drug, federally classified. Likely. That is likely the case. And Carla Rose Hanson, my guest, you had mentioned that when it comes to medical marijuana. You know, some of that still applies there. Maybe you can see kind of my underlying feelings towards WSI and injured workers in North Dakota. I'm not going to dispute that. They've had, in my opinion, a very bad track record of treating workers that have been injured on the job. But to have individuals in the legislature, which is, again, my view of this, to use these committee hearings to go against a measure kind of stinks. Carla Rose Hanson, I'm not going to ask you to answer that, but I want you to tell me about the progress when it comes to the Ethics Commission. I've got about 6-7 minutes left with you. You know, the public voted to create the Ethics Commission. The legislature wasn't real keen on that either. They were very vocal during that campaign, as I think I'm starting to see them into this one too. But their hands, you had to do something, but there were some discrepancies that need to be clarified. Are we making any progress there?
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, the voters of North Dakota approved this measure in November of 18 by 54% across the state. Here in Cass County, it was 65%. And what we needed to do as a legislature is kind of fill in a little bit of the details and do a little bit of the implementing at a finer detail. So during the legislative session, we debated a bunch of ideas, and what ended up getting pushed through was House Bill 1521. And that didn't exactly align to the intent of Measure 14 or really the language in that, not in every single way. Mm-hmm. And so the concerns were is that this is really not honoring the will of the voters, you know, what they intended when they approved that measure. And so yesterday during the interim judiciary meeting, I introduced two bills that tries to kind of fix some of those conflicts that are between the statute that the legislature passed last year and the language in the Constitution under Article 14. And so we're trying to resolve some of those conflicts and make things a little bit more in alignment with the intent of Article 14.
Is the fact that there is now the members of the commission, they're seated, you've got an executive director, has that helped ease some of the frustration and concern in the legislature? Because now there's a face to it. You know who you're working with. It's not some boogeyman out there. You actually know what this body is.
That's right. And the new executive director testified yesterday in front of our Judiciary Committee and really tried to reassure the group that, you know, he actually used those words, you know, like, this isn't a gotcha effort. This is about if someone makes a mistake, we'll work with you to really try to educate you. And so it's not about a political gotcha game. And we do want to work on educating people on what the rules are and how things should work. But he did raise the concern that about the conflicts between the statute and the constitutional amendment. He raised that during his testimony. And so another aspect, besides their ability, for example, to enact their own laws and have their own authority outside of the legislative branch or the executive branch, another aspect that he was concerned about is the complaint process. So the Constitution says that we need to allow for a confidential whistleblower line so that you could bring a concern forward if you have observed something or have heard something. But the statute that we passed last year requires that a name be attached with that. And so he did have a little bit of concerns with that. The executive director, whose name is David Teeley, he said, well, what if a box shows up, gets sent to the Ethics Commission, a box full of credible evidence showing a big problem in, you know, some area of government? If there's not a name attached to it, we would have to ignore it, you know. So what do you do in that case? So, you know, we just want to make sure that we have some clarity on how to handle those different situations. And so hopefully, you know, these bills will do that.
Well, good. We'll be following along. I'm glad that, you know, again, that there's an executive director that's now the face of it, been hired by the commission that was approved by the governor, the Senate majority, and minority leader. So you have the bipartisan impact on there as well. Carla Rose Hanson, anything else before I let you go? I took more of your time than what I asked for today.
Oh, this is great. And thanks for talking about these important topics.
Well, I appreciate you taking time to help me walk through them. 237-5948. You can text me at 35270. Here's the last word I'll say about the ethics. With those that fought it tooth and nail, about, well, you got to have a name to the whistleblower like Jim Casper wanted, the guy that did he ever prove that he got hacked, or did he just throw that press release out there and then, you know, disappeared, closed out his accounts, and now is somebody else doing it? He's one of the individuals. For me, there was some guilty conscience, perhaps, of, oh, you know what, maybe when I did this and that is why there's been some of this brought forward. As far as the whole recreational marijuana, we tried to reach out to David Owens. He's the chair of the committee, hoping to hear back. The early stages of the opposition coming out, and it's the official state of North Dakota. Don't you want to respond to that? We'll keep trying to get his take, and ultimately you'll have the final say come November, unless they don't get the required signatures, but it sounds like they are well on their way. Let's get you caught up. CBS National News right now on the Senate floor. They are about to hold the final vote on acquitting or convicting the President of the United States. I think we all know where the final vote will lie. I'll clean up the rest of the messages about the State of the Union as well. If you want to join that conversation, we can touch back on that. Also, Derek Hansen, Couch Potato Radio, he'll be in studio in just a little bit. Let's talk about the Major League Baseball trade. Twins making some moves. Good move in your opinion or not. That's coming up second hour, Afternoons Live, next right here on KFGO. Just can't wait to get on the road.